Larry.
Unit 4DJC, I didn't catch the last letter of the call. Was that a C or?
How you doing this afternoon? I'm headed home after half a day at the office.
I am at the office. I don't have to go into the office anymore. I retired about 10 years ago, so I don't have to worry too much about that anymore. But I can empathize.
It's my half day. I had to go to the car insurance place and talk to them a little bit, so now I'm headed home. Go home and see what I can find to eat, and then see what I got to work on.
Signal, the audio is good, and you're full quieting on this end. I'm in Anderson. I'm on a HD, though, but I'm running it through a small beam in my upstairs bedroom.
Good signal as well. And it's not supposed to get as hot as it did yesterday. Of course, I was indoors all day, so it didn't matter to me. But once you walk out, boy, that heat hits you like a brick wall.
Yeah, today we were out this morning to built a house next door to us, and they just started half finishing up, and Deep Power had a trench power line through, and they got their landscaper to come out this morning and got everything leveled out, reseeded, and put hay over it. So it's better than it was. It's still got a long way to go. We need some rain too. It's too expensive to water the lawn here. It's the worst time in the world to be planting grass or sod or anything else.
I need some rain desperately. We got some at the house last Thursday, but it just absolutely poured. I mean, just, it was awful. There wasn't much thunder and lightning, but the rain was incredible.
Well, you could call it rain, I guess. I could count the number of drops on the windshield we got yesterday, but it kind of goes around us on both sides. I'm not too far from 85, and most time it's north of 85 and south of us, so we don't get as much rain as other folks do. It's been real dry here. The last decent rain we got was probably one day last week. Maybe we might have got an hour's worth, but we don't normally water our lawn, but we have to water the new grass. We put a little bit of sod out. We're still watering it about once a week. But it's supposed to get about half an inch in the next 24 hours here. I hope that remains true, because sure do need it.
I guess it's better to water in the evening, because that way it has more time to soak in than if you water during the middle of the day or the morning.
It's told us it is better to water real early in the morning before the sun came up, but we don't get out that early to water this stuff. The builder next door's got his set up on timers. They put some Bermuda sod out, and then they got a lot of it just broadcast seed and put some hay over, because it's a pretty good sized lot. But the sod don't look too good right now. They're going to have to water it more than the hay. We put some in about a month ago, I guess. We probably put about 10 rolls down. But we try to get it twice a day for about the first 4 or 5 days, and every other day if it didn't rain. And it looks pretty good right now, but the rest of the yard is really parched.
That too. And it'd be nice to have something you could capture rain in, like, you know, the runoff from the gutters. If you pipe it into something, of course you'd have to filter it. But it'd be neat to have some big old drums to capture that in and use it as needed.
People that do that, but it is it's fine for watering grass and stuff, but the barrels have to be covered. It's the system does seem pretty elaborate, where they filtered it out, and then you got the tap at the bottom of the drum, and of course you have to worry about the mosquitoes and that sort of thing not getting in there. And of course, make sure if you got a lot of leaves or something in your yard, trees in your yard, worry about it clogging it up and making it worse. But a lot of places do that. I know one guy that captures everything off his roof, and he runs it into almost like an old cistern or something, where he's got a small polyethylene drum. It's not that small. It's about 300 gallons or so, but I don't think he gets enough rain to fill it up.
Little creek beside the house is fed by three spring heads. But the problem with it catches runoff from the road, and you get oil and fluids and stuff like that that runs in it as well. So that wouldn't be useful much.
Yeah, I think people have metal roofs. I think that's probably a good situation there, because you don't have that much. You don't have to worry too much about metal roof. But if you got asphalt roof, you got to worry about everything else you're putting in the soil. Even though we never thought about it 50 years ago, but now I don't want to put anything out there. If anything, it's like throwing creosote out there sometimes. It just makes it worse sometimes. But regular rain's always good. It's always got a lot of nitrogen. It greens up overnight if you had any amount here. But we planted mostly centipedes. It looks great when you got plenty of water, but we just didn't realize the water bills here were extremely expensive. We didn't realize how much water it took to keep it green. But it does look a good lawn. We're trying Bermuda. We're gonna keep spotting it out here and there, because the turf guy told me, he said, Bermuda takes about an inch of water on it a week, and it'll stay nice and healthy. And it doesn't get as green as centipede does, but it makes a good turf if you get it started right.
I hate to go, but I'm just about got the driveway in sight, so I'll go ahead and sign with both of you in the other station. Go ahead. I hope y'all have a good afternoon. KC4SKD.
Afternoon, N4DJC. Go ahead, other station.
N4DJC, I think you said. KG4LSL. Name here is Jimmy. And I just moved to Anderson, and yeah, I heard y'all talking about the grass, and that was my line of work until a car accident disabled me.
It's pretty tough here right now with as dry as it is. I got to get out a guy out this morning doing some work with his new power tool yard up trenching. Actually, I had excavated a trenching knit line in for a new house. This guy does, he contracts his landscaping to, he's a contractor for Duke, but he also does other stuff too. And I'm going to try to get him maybe this fall to do some core aeration for us. One thing, his yard's a little old and it needs to be. It's be aerated. I want it core aerated, and maybe a top coat it too, maybe about a quarter of an inch. So we still got a lot to do before we get to that point.
If I may kind of give some advice on it, and I can't tell you what to do, but core aerate it first thing in the spring, and then after you core aerate it, I would top dress it with a sand and mushroom compost mixture. And you will see that Bermuda just absolutely take off. And there's other stuff that you can add to it to feed it, but Bermuda is probably one of the most resilient turfs that we have here in the South. Centipede is finicky. After a certain time, you can't put anything on it because it'll kill it. And if you over-fertilize it, it'll kill it. And if it gets too cold, it'll kill it. centipede was always my nightmare.
That'll hear Jerry, by the way. Yeah, we've got some centipede. We've got a lot of fescue still out here, too. We put some centipede side out a number of years ago. It spread pretty well. It just requires much water. A normal water bill for me with no watering at all, shrubs or grass, anything, is about $100. So if I water, it's going to be $150 more a month. So I have to be a little more judicious with water than most people do. We're just doing a little bit of time. We've been here at this place about 27 years. We cut all the trees down to get a little better room to grow. And it does pretty well when we get rain, but right now it just doesn't look good at all. The centipede just looks better, and that's the way we're going. We'll probably live long enough to see it, really go. But centipede, once it gets established, it'll fight the other stuff off. It's sure a lot more drought resistant, it's a little more tolerant to other things too. And you just, it eliminates a lot. I was thinking about top coat my sand, but I didn't know what else to put with. A lot of people use use 8 miles, but I don't think out west is a good idea or not. But yeah, I told the guy I want to do it probably this spring sometime. And, but you know, that grass just clumps together. If you don't core area, that's one of the things that makes that lawn so rough, I believe. Back to you, KG4L, is it Lima, Foxtrot Lima, is that correct?
It's a Euro Lima. And KG4LSL. It loves, centipede absolutely loves the heat. You know, when you're down in Florida and down on the coastal plains of Georgia, where I lived for a little while, originally from Atlanta, and down there in the sandy, loamy soil, man, centipede just has an absolute field day. Part of the problem with centipede up here is it can't get a good enough root structure. It's got a real, the root structure in it is really weak, and it loves that sandy soil because it's easy to move around. Sand is one of the number one things that they top dress with when talking about Bermuda or any other warm season turfs. And I never liked doing that because sand doesn't hold any water and it won't hold any nutrients. So it just basically drains everything that's good for the grass away from it. The Bermuda, when you're talking about peat moss is great for fescue because it holds a lot of moisture. But the mushroom compost holds a lot of nutrients to it. It allows the soil to drain a little bit so it doesn't just hold the moisture on it. And, I mean, it's just, that's what I have found works the best.
Appreciate that advice. We lived in southwest Georgia. Both of us are from Georgia. We've been in South Carolina over 40 years now. But I lived in southwest Georgia for a number of years. I went to school in Americus. We lived in Columbus, too, for a while as well. And, yeah, that sandy soil down there just loves it. And that's one thing about what we did with this. It's mostly clay here, so we just kind of, we broke it up real good. We had some bare spots out there and had some little, you know, gaps in there where we had the trees. And all the sawdust had finally, deteriorated away. We filled it in with some topsoil and then wet it down, getting it put the Bermuda side down. It's taken off pretty well here, but that's a good idea. Next time I'll see if I can find some of that compost and use it whenever we put the, wherever we prepare, where we're going to put the Bermuda down and do it that way. But you're right, that loamy soil, that stuff loves it. And it just, if it can tolerate southwest or, coastal Georgia gets a little more rain, but if it can tolerate southwest Georgia, like America's Albany and Blakely, it can tolerate anything just about. But I do think you're right that the clay soil up here makes it real hard to get it established. And, you know, we thought multiple times if we thought we were going to be here a whole lot longer, we're about redoing the whole yard, but it's just so expensive now, and we're just not sure if we're up to doing that.
KG4LSL. Yep. I understand, and yes, I know exactly where Americus is. If you are familiar with Plains, Georgia, down there around Dawson, I used to hunt down there on my ex-wife's property, and I lived in Ray City, which is between Tifton and Valdosta in Berrien County. I lived there for about 11 years. And when we were getting that area, lived on 4 acres, it used to be a cotton field. So we tilled up the whole area and we seeded it with centipede and carpet grass mixture. And it was gorgeous. And yeah, it handles a lot of drought, a lot of dry, and a lot of heat. I sure am glad I'm up in the upstate South Carolina. Now, the heat's not as bad, and we can just go and jump in the lake. Down there, you got to worry about getting your legs snapped off by an alligator sometimes. But yeah, it's I love it up here, and So far from what I've seen, Anderson reminds me a lot of South Georgia as far as the people go, and I'm loving that there is a huge ham radio presence up here. So far, this is the only repeater I've been able to work, and well, I'm working on the other ones. KG4LSL, over to you, N4DJC.
Everybody knows what planes is, but I used to, back when Brian Boggs was sub popular back in the early 70s, I used to ride my bike to planes from America and back several times. And we have family in the area. Of course, they all moved to Blakely. I think we have a big family down that area. My aunt and uncle and their two sons, and of course, we got a bunch of other cousins down there too as well. And we used to hunt fish down there. We hunted and fished, and that's what I did all through college, I guess. And back in the 60s, and we used to fish those farm pines down there, but I always wore snake boots, though, because, you know, everybody talks about running the snakes up here. I said, you don't run the snakes up here like you do down there, and they're not as big either. But anyway, I miss South Georgia. My wife and I both love living down there. But you know, when you get below, you know, there's a whole different world when you get below that gnat line. And if you're from below tip, and you know exactly what we're talking about. There's another guy here on the repeaters. He lives in Seneca, and he's originally from Uvalde, Georgia. So I'm sure you know where that is too. But we got to get reminiscing about south and southwest Georgia. And back in the old days, but Anderson's a really good place to live. We've been here 20, well, longer than that, I guess. Been in this house 27. We were here 2 years before that. But we're both originally from Harwell, which is just across the river there. But we like it here. I can't think of any place else we'd move.
And on the Nat line, yes, they have this thing called the South Georgia Wave. It's where you just kind of move the gnats out of your way. Otherwise, you're not going to be hungry at lunch because you're going to eat a bunch of them. Yeah, that and the skeeters. You get down to some of them swampy areas down there, and you get mosquitoes about the size of a hummingbird sometimes. Make you think they'll carry you off. And I've had mosquitoes bite me through my jeans, and that was bad memories. And this was before they had the thermocells for mosquito repellents and what have you. Yeah, so very familiar with it. And, you know, of course, opening day of either, especially of bow season, you're out there and you're trying to be camouflaged, but it's hard to be camouflaged in a tank top and shorts, and you're burning up. For sure. But me and my family, my wife got a job offer in Greenville, and you know, we were living in Atlanta, and we were not real happy being there. Traffic was an absolute nightmare. You know, just the whole northern part of the state is changing, and it's not for the better. So, you know, when we got the opportunity, we jumped at it. We put the house on the market, sold it within 5 days, had a contract on it, and so we moved up here. My aunt moved up to Westminster, as well as my dad and stepmom. They moved to a house on Hartwell in Westminster. So that's where my boat stays, and we are all just happy with the place. We love it.
I don't have a lake pot now. I had one for years, and we sold it back in 2005. But my daughter and her husband and their kids, they live in Greenville. She works for WYFF. She's a assistant news director there, and he works for Greenville County Council. But they have their pontoon down here docked at Portland, which is only about 5 minutes, 10 minutes from the house here. But I can see the lake from my house. The lake lights here just gone sky high. But matter of fact, my wife's sister and her husband and our niece and nephew, they still live in Atlanta right now. But they've been in Duluth now for a number of years. He works for Tech, like an adjunct professor occasionally. He doesn't work for the DOD. He's one of these engineering guys. He and his wife are both hams, but But we used to get a lot of hand pests in the area, but Atlanta has changed so much now. They will eventually move. I think he's going to retire next year. And I think they'll eventually move maybe in this direction. I don't know. Their son, my nephew, he just got out of, he's in his fifth year residence, orthopedic residency now, and he's got a fellowship of all places in Seattle, and I'm sure he's going to have an experience out there he's not accustomed to, but to the Atlanta, Northeast Georgia has changed so much over the years. It's just not the same place it was 40 years ago, even 25. I mean, the traffic is absolutely about as the only place I've ever been. And I've personally been as worse as Houston, and that's saying something. Back to you, Jimmy. KG4 LSL.
For DJC from KG4 LSL. Yeah, I've been to Houston. No, thank you. Duluth, I know it well. I've actually got a really close friend of mine, and he does my computer work for me. Works for the city of Duluth, and I grew up in Lawrenceville. And now, I remember Lawrenceville back when Highway 124, between Lawrenceville and Snellville, I remember it was a two-lane highway, and I watched them put that four-lane divided monstrosity in. So, it is absolutely horrendous. It's overcrowded. It really is. My wife was working over in Norcross. We lived out by Six Flags, and it was about 35 miles. And in the morning, and it's all interstate, and in the morning it would take her on average an hour to an hour and a half to get to work. And in the afternoons it would take her no less than 2 hours, sometimes three, to get home. And, you know, it puts a lot of strain on your car. It puts a lot of strain on your mental health. And when you're stuck in traffic all the time, you start getting bored. And well, then there's the idiots, like the guy that ran the red light and ultimately disabled me. So, there it is.
He was telling me, as a matter of fact, he drives into Tech, not every day, most every day, I think, when he's not traveling. It takes him about an hour and 45 minutes, even with a beach pass. That's just crazy. That's not for me. My college roommate was from Norcross. You know, I graduated in 74, I guess. He lived in Norcross, and one of his friends, he moved here to Anderson. I hadn't heard anything from him yet, but he moved here to Anderson about two or three years ago, of all places. But they lived in Norcross for years and years and years, and they raised their family. I guess when the kids grew up, they decided to move, and they got a place on the lake here. But I know all those areas very well. But I remember when I first started. I started traveling. I worked in the textile industry for 35 years, and started traveling about the last 15 in sales. And back in 93 or 94, I think, SR20 was kind of more or less a shortcut. It was a two-lane road back then. And it's not a shortcut anymore. There's no good way. I used to have to go to Rome, up in that area, a good bit, and it's 2.5 hours no matter which way you do. But the one thing good about Anderson, with my job back then, when I was halfway between Atlanta and halfway between Charlotte, and my customers were kind of in both directions, but still, going through Atlanta has always been, I'd find any way I could not to go through downtown, anyway. And if I had to drive through Monticello or someplace like that, that's the way I'd go.
Well, being down that you were in the textile industry, you may remember a company out in Valdosta called Wilkinson's, or Wilkerson's, or something like that, textiles down in Valdosta. My ex-mother-in-law worked for them for, 20 or 30 years.
Oh, that one. I had very few customers. Stand around, trying to think, probably Synthetic Industries was probably, that was up in North Georgia. They had a couple of places in in Middle Georgia, I think, at one time. And one day, I can't remember where the other one was, and that saved my life. But and I had some stuff in Macon. I didn't have much in the lower part of the state, though, Jimmy. It was mostly Atlanta, north. In Macon and Columbus, there was a lot of activity in that area in those days, too. But I don't remember that. I didn't remember. That didn't mean that I didn't call them sometime or another, but I had maybe... I probably had 300 customers or something like that.
The textile companies, that was, or the industry itself, that's a tough industry. It's a really tough industry to make it in. And, with all the cotton and everything else that's in South Georgia, Middle Georgia, I can see, where there'd be a bunch of mills and manufacturing and what have you going on there. But I was more into the automotive fields and all of that, which it even died off there in South Georgia back 2008, I think it was, when the big recession hit. So in a lot of those places, just they had to shut down. Their operating costs were way too high and weren't really selling anything, which was really hurting the economy down there.
I retired at the end of 2008. The industry just sunk to nothing by then. And I retired early, and I thought, well, I can hang it, I can go ahead and hang it up now, maybe do some part-time, maybe do a little consulting, that sort of thing. And I said, I go ahead, I can afford to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do it now. And it was probably a really good decision for me, because I've worked a lot of miles, worked a lot of hours, and I've worked in the mill itself and manufacturing it. I got burned out on it. And once you get that deeply, deep into an industry like that, it's hard to change horses and start something new. And nobody wants to hire somebody in the late 50s, even then or now, unless you got some really specialized skill that nobody else can do, or few other people can do. So, I've enjoyed it. I have not missed working one iota, not one bit. I miss some of the people, but, that's just the way things roll. N4DJC.
AG4LSL. The recession in 2008, it put such a hurting on, on all of the industries, and I'm afraid that we're heading into the exact same mess here with this current administration. I hope and I pray that I am wrong about that, but time will tell. Hopefully November is good for us and we can hopefully stop some of the stupid that's going on up there now. But we will see. I'm just looking up on, I just looked you up here on QRZ. I don't think you're very far from me. And did I hear you say you're on a handheld?
Handheld on a, but I'm working through a 5-element elk log periodic beam. It's a small beam that a lot of people use for satellites. I just got mounted on a PVC stand inside my upper bedroom. I'm just off Brown Road. I'm up here. If you know where the boat ramp is on Brown Road, I'm probably about a mile from that.
I picked you up on reverse. I was able to pick you up on the input here on the repeater input. Yeah, you are not. Well, it's 5.7 miles driving wise. It's probably 3 or 4 miles as the crow flies. Awesome.
Got full scale on the input here, Jimmy.
Running a 2-meter 440 copper J pole up at about 38 feet. I just got my mast put up and got my dipole put up on it and got the 2 meter put up on it. Is this the only repeater that's active in the area? Because I have not been able to key up any of the other repeaters that are in repeater book at all.
The most active one. This one's up about 2,500 feet on Caesar Head. This is a wide area repeater. And the other ones in the area, depending on which direction you're in, the 14697 machine is on top of AMMED Hospital, kind of downtown Anderson. They've got a 2 meter frequency, and also got a 440 machine there too. And then those two would be reachable. And then the other one is, depending on your location, if you got your J-pole up that high, you ought to be able to get into the 146.79. Now, the that machine does not require a tone. The 97 machine that's on AMMED has a 127.3 tone, and it is a wide area repeater. It's linked to multiple repeater systems in the state. You'll hear it active in the evenings. They usually have various nets on that repeater, probably Thursday nights, Wednesday nights, and Thursday nights. You'll hear them on. There'll be a Western Carolina net, and then the Anderson Radio Club net is on 146.79 at 8:30 in the evening. And here on this machine, this Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and it's on every night at 9 o'clock, 7 days a week. We usually have 50 to 60 check-ins on this one.
Seem to remember trying to work both of those Anderson repeaters and can't do it. And it may be something that I'm doing wrong on my radios. I'm running a Yaesu FTM 3100 here for a 2 meter, and I'm still kind of new to this radio, so it may be something that I'm doing wrong for my tones or for the offsets. I haven't figured that one out yet. When I found out I was retired disabled, I bought a new Yaesu 2 meter and a new Yaesu FT450D HF rig, and started really playing a lot of radios.
It could be the tone. You know, you may have the tone set incorrectly, but the 7.9 machine is not that busy, and it does not require a tone. There are other ones in the area. There's a 145.470 machine. It's I think it's a 91.3 tone. It's a wide area link machine too. And that's on top of Caesar's Head. But the Anderson, Anderson machines are up very high. But if I can hear you on the input, you ought to be able to hit either one of those, the 2 meter and the 440 one, with, 10 or 15 watts, maybe. I'm only running 5 here. And normally I've got an ICOM 705 QRP rig, and I run it on 2 meters a lot too. And also got a 5100, but I run it 25 watts, sometimes 15 to 25. I don't have any trouble getting on 5 watts on any of those machines. I'm not in a great location. I'm down towards the bottom of the hill, towards the lake, near the lake. So I'm probably about, I'm right around 700 feet above sea level. And I bet you're probably closer to 850, maybe 900, something like that, I guess, Jimmy. N4DJC.
CKG4LSL. Yeah, I'm gonna play around with it and pulling up my my altimeter here, and I'm right at about 700 feet or so above sea level here, kind of on top of a little bit of a hill. So that definitely helps. I do a lot of HF FT8 work, and when I got the antennas up and got all the coax run and all the fun stuff, I just sent out a CQ, and I think I was on 40 meters when I sent out an FT8 CQ, and the first contact come back to me was Australia. So it almost took an act of Congress for me to work Australia from Atlanta. So that kind of made me feel good.
If you're on top of the hill, even no matter what the, if you can see the rise, and that's the big thing. I'm actually below, I'm probably 50 feet or so below Brown Road, and you know, from the top of the road down here, probably 50 feet. I'd have to have an 80-foot tower to get, you know, get above, probably get above where you are just because of the trees and all the obstructions in the way. But like I said, you're just about full scale on my beam, and you may be coming off the backside of the beam, maybe. I don't know which direction you might be in, but yeah, you're easily copyable on that foot.
Jerry's just a peanut whistle down there in 0TR.
Everything in 0TR, and I'll pass it over to you. Yeah, Jerry, I am south. No, I'm sorry. I am northeast of you, up in the Centerville area. Other station, go ahead. KG4LSL in the group.
LSL in 0TR. Well, good afternoon. Oh, I was just sitting here working on those tie wraps, drilling some holes in them, Jerry. That's going to work out, by golly, for separators on my counterpoise on my 160 vertical. I was really surprised. Well, I tried that mouthwash out that I got a while ago, and they said it's magic mouthwash. Boy, it is, Jerry. For $68, it tastes like you know what, and your whole mouth goes numb. I don't know if I can tolerate that. I think I'll go back to the Aura Gel off the shelf. I'm telling you. You can't win for losing. Well, I worked England last night, Gulf Quebec 3, Sierra Victor Kilo, and the Russian expedition again in Zimbabwe, Africa, and I worked Paul in New Zealand, Oamaru, New Zealand, ZO4TT, and then I worked Kazakhstan, if I pronounce that right, a uniform November 6LN. But that was on real ham radio, well, not computers, Jerry. and you'll have to tell me the other gentleman's name. My name's Tom, and glad to meet you. Go ahead, Jerry, in 4DJC and 0TR.
I don't, let me turn my power. I'm going to run about 2 watts now. I'll turn it down just a tad. I don't know if I'm still readable or not. But the other guy's name is Jimmy, and he's new there. He's got some antennas set up, and we were just yelling back and forth there. He's not very far from me. He's kind of off the back of my beam here in Centerville, but I can pick him up on input really clear. And, Jimmy, Tom is an old CW guy, and I mean an old CW guy. Old being an operative word like the rest of us old guys. You go ahead and take it, KG4, LSL, M4DJC.
KG4, LSL, and pleasure to meet you, Tom. Yeah, I do, I used to do code. And I got my general ticket back when you still had to do the code test. So I did it and I passed it and I used it for a little while and I have absolutely forgotten it. I took a 10-year hiatus, long story, won't go into it here, off of the radio, and I pretty well lost almost all of my, my code. I can still recognize a few characters here and there. But, you know, I guess single sideband voice is a lot of what I do on HF. You know, and if I'm not having any good luck, I'll switch over to FT8 or, you know, FT4, something like that. And, you know, just see what I can make weak signal. But with the sunspot cycle coming back up, which I am very glad to see, I love to do 10-meter voice. That's a lot of fun. I like to do some 80-meter at night. You know, just rag chewing in the local area here. So I've got an 80-meter inverted V, and the apex is about 35 or 36 feet up, and you know, the legs coming down. So I'm still kind of trying to get that tuned in and, you know, with the analyzer and all of that. But so far, it's working pretty good. So I'll pass it over to you, Tom, N0TR from KG4LSL in the group.
Well, fine business, Jimmy. The pleasure's mine to meet you today. Jerry, well, not so much. I talk to him all the time. I know what kind of guy he is. Anyways, we throw daggers at each other all the time. Old. I'm 47 years old and dyslexic, Jimmy. I get the numbers mixed up at times. But I do love CW. But I bounce all over the bands. And they have been terrible for a long time now. So I just kind of pick and choose. Last night, the whole screen on QRZ, it's just plastered with FT8. I wish I could filter that out, but QRZ don't give you that option, to my knowledge. And they just hog it all. But there was a few come up. French Guiana and South America and Situa and Molina, those are pretty easy. But the other ones were fairly decent contacts. But as an example, the French Guiana was on 30. The Situa and Molina was on 30. The GQ3 was on 20 meters last night at 0050 Zulu. And the wife and I come down here and watch TV, and I do ham radio. But then the Zulu 21 is a Russian de-expeditions, and I don't have much use for Russians now, but I don't think the hams have much to do with that idiot Putin. But so I went ahead and worked him. They've been over there a while, and I didn't have him on 30. And then the next one was in New Zealand, and I haven't worked that in quite some time. They used to work it regularly, as you well know, when the sunspots were up. And his name was Paul, a very nice gentleman. And then Kazakhstan, I guess it is, I didn't have them on 17. So late in the evening, it's kind of funny. Usually you'd see those bands more or less in the afternoon, but now they're coming on later of an evening. And we stayed up till about 10:30 last night and went to bed. But there was very few pickings on there, Jimmy. You're right about that. Well, I just got this 160 put up, and that's quite an accomplishment because my wife, Bernice, over here, 54 years, and I did most of, well, we did the counterpoise, and then our friend KO4NUE is a retired sergeant major from the Army that lives up near us. He come out and he wanted to try out his new shooter, and it really done a good job. We finally put a plumb bob on it, if you can imagine that. I'd hate to caught that on the pointed end. But it went right over that 80-foot tree. It's working real good, and I hope to get 160 DXCC. That's the only one that I need, and that's a really tough band. It's not much till winter time, but I have made a few nice QSOs on sideband on there, and so I enjoy sideband and CW, and I am not a digital person very much. My wife can't stand it if I run ready, so I quit running it, and I don't like the sound of it particularly myself, but it is obnoxious, the sound on there. But Jerry does is that satellite stuff, and that sounds fascinating, but I don't think I got the smarts to do that. I got my extra back in 93. And by the way, I said it, if I ever got to that 20 words a minute, I'll never do CW again and bite my tongue. That's 99% of what I do now, and I love it. It's a really good mode, and gets through. It's got small bandwidth, and just gets through. Well, Jimmy, just to get to know you a little bit, I was an electrician for 32 years in a very large machine shop with very large tools. We could turn a part that was 27 foot in diameter. And then after 32 years, and they'd been in business 125 years, they shut down. So I went to a printing plant for a year and worked as an HVAC guy and an electronic technician. And got my HVAC license while I was there just to get the job. And then I went to a wheel plant where we made 55,000 to 80,000 wheels a month. And after 4 years there, I wanted to retire there. They shut it down during, like you said, back in 08, I think it was, and sent it to Mexico, of course. So it's a shame how many lost their jobs in automotive industry and the industry down here that involved linen and stuff like Jerry was in. It's just unimaginable. And sent it all to China. Anyways, I guess I'm old-fashioned, redneck, and narrow-minded, Jimmy, and I'll probably stay that way. Now, go ahead, Jerry.
Can't be in with that, too. It's just travesty, all the things we lost over the years. You know, it is what it is, like Rusty always says. Not much you can do about it. Ralph Perot was right about one thing. He said, that giant sucking sound you hear is all those jobs going to Mexico. And he might have been a little flaky about some things, but he was sure right about that. Go ahead, Jimmy, M40JC.
For DJC and N0TR from KG4LSL. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I am probably one of the most patriotic old cusses you'll find. And I think it's a shame that we get everything, including our food, from other countries. And now we're getting our oil and everything else from other countries. And it's just, it is aggravating. And Tom, you were talking about the spotter on QRZ. If you are familiar with PSK Reporter, they have a PSK a reporter map that you can choose between digital, and it also has a CW section on there, so you can look and see what's being spotted and where it's being spotted at on CW and filter it out that way. That's the DX spotter that I use is PSK Reporter. And it's, I think, PSKReporter.com or .info is where you go to get that. But, yeah, the recession in 08 really, I mean, that's when we hit $4 a gallon for gas. And, the economy was shutting down, the housing market crashed, and, well, I don't know, now we have basically the same thing, only worse, going on in America now, and instead of the vice president, he is now the president, if you can call him that. I'm really hopeful for 24. Really hopeful for this November. See if we can get some relief from this, because it's hurting everybody, and it's really sad to see America in the shape that it's in. And we need more people doing stuff here at home and supporting American-made products. I went to one of the festivals up here, I think in March, and I saw a tumbler, a little coffee cup that they had up in one of the booths up there, and I'm getting ready to pull out my debit card to pay for it, and I said, let me ask you this, where is this tumbler made? And they said, well, the tumbler's made in China. I said, well, then honey, you can keep it. I've got enough coffee cups. She goes, well, you're going to have a hard time finding anything made, anywhere else. I said, that's fine. I've got other coffee cups. I hate to do it, but, we got to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. N0TR, pick it up, KG4LSL.
This is N0TR. Fine business, Jimmy, and God bless you. That's kind of hard to do at times because, for example, for Father's Day, One of my daughters is an engineer down here at General Electric for many years, and she's not doing engineering now. She juggles money for General Electric and kind of interfaces between the plant and the executives and whatnot, but she's got a nice job. But the one up in Michigan, unfortunately, leans towards the Democrats because she's a professional musician, and I played in an orchestra at the university for 9 years up in Kansas. We lived in Kansas 62 and a half years, and they kind of leaned that way too. A lot of wonderful people, don't misunderstand me, but that's just their religion. But she sent me she said it's a stepping stone, Dad, and it's got the stars and stripes embossed on it, and it says, I'm looking at it here, land of the free because of the brave. Well, I was in the Navy way, way back, and my job was to kill Russian submarines, and they always told us, if you trust the Russian military or the Chinese military, that's where two fools met. And I still believe that. We're bringing them over here to put them in our finest universities to learn how to build better bombs to kill Americans, in my opinion. But I guess that's the narrow-minded part of me. But from what they did at the university where I played at for avocational purposes and didn't get paid for years, that's the way it was. But I turned it over, looked on the back, and it said, Made in China. There you go. And the flags, 99% of them I get, are from the Legion, Disabled American Veterans, which I've been a member for many, many years, and my wife's a life member, and VFW. And whenever they send something, like a flag or something of that nature, you know, they're always sending this junk mail that you don't ask for. You look on it, and the flags are even made in China. So I don't know what's going to happen to us. I'm like you. God help us if we don't get rid of that administration up there now. I don't know what we're going to do. And I was coming home a while ago. I was talking to Chad, and he's a retired sergeant major, and I looked up, and there was a flag up there by the propane place, and it says, Way to go, Brandon. That kind of sums it up. But anyways, Jerry, I'll make one more round, and then I think I'll get back to fixing my counterpoise insulators here. N4 DJC and 0TR. N0TR
in the group, N4 DJC. Yeah, I might jump out here, too. I got to take a run a few errands before a couple of places close up early today. And just want to let you know, Jimmy, nice talking to you. And don't be a stranger. Give a shout-out. I'm usually monitoring this frequency most of the day. Give a shout-out. And Tom and I, a few other guys, get on here in the afternoons and late mornings sometimes. And, of course, it's usually busy on over in the evenings. Be sure and check in the net tonight at 9 o'clock. And in the meantime, check on that 9-7 machine and 7-9. I bet you can get in that 7-9 machine. One of the guys I talk with here on a regular basis, he's got, he lives somewhere over towards Centerville, and he's got a J-pole up about 30 feet, and he can hit just about anything, I think, from his backyard. But don't be a stranger. Good talking to you. And I'm going to clear out this time, and may check back in about an hour or so. N4 DJC clear.
Business, Tom. Pleasure to meet both of you gentlemen. Yeah, and on the flag comment, I've got a flag. I've got two American flags here, and both of them are made in America. One of them is a 4x6, I think, up on my flagpole, and I've got a 10x13 folded up in my pool table room. So, I believe in having everything made in America. Jerry, I'd really like to get together with you on the satellite stuff. That stuff has always fascinated me, and I have never worked any satellite stuff, so I'd really kind of like to get set up to do that. And, Tom, I'd like to learn a little bit more about your 160 antenna, because I've never been able to work 160 either. So lots to learn. Gentlemen, y'all have a wonderful rest of your afternoon, And, yeah, I'll probably check into the net tonight, and I'll wish both of you a 73, and pass it over to you, Tom, N0TR, and N4DJC. 73s, guys, we'll talk to y'all soon from KG4LSL.
Fine business, Jimmy. Jerry, great to hear you again this afternoon, and you have a good day. I'm not much on going back out in the heat. I have congestive heart failure, and I don't like the heat, and I don't like it real cold, but I just got to clip these little clips on it. I'm good on QRZ, Jimmy, and there's a picture of my ugly mug up there in my setup here. I run three wire antennas. W4DJW is an amazing man, and he's on here a lot. Dave Watson, and he's extremely knowledgeable on things like that. He shot up my first super loop, and I just love it. I probably work 90% of my contacts on that. And then I have a 160-meter Carolina Windham, and they're a great antenna, too. But there's multiple lobes on it, and I don't know which direction they go anymore. I'm kind of an appliance operator at my age. But it does a fine job, but it's 265 feet long, although there's one up to 80 meters that's much shorter that is an excellent antenna also. Radio Works is the one I got, but I've replaced it and rebuilt it myself. I recommend Balance by Wire Design, and thank you for that PSK reporter. DX Summit's another good one, and you can add filters, but I'm not smart enough to keep them saved. I tell it to save the selections of the bands and that, but it doesn't work out well. But at any rate, it's N0TR with the man on the mountain. There's two other repeaters here, 146, 94, and 82. And I don't know if you can hear them, excuse me, from down there. And they're not very much used. There's the only two I can think of up here. And then there's some 440 ones. And then the heart, I can't remember the initials on it, is an excellent repeater. I think it's 145.37, but you have to look that up. Run by a real, real extremely smart gentleman. And I can't think of him right this moment. I haven't been on it in so long. But they link those up at times, and they do a lot of public service work on there. Be a great group to get in with if you like that. But I have the Super Loop, that Carolina Windham, and I just put up the Kilowatt 2 Alpha Victor 160 vertical. But it'll tune easily up to 30 and maybe even higher than that. And it doesn't take up so much room with the counterpoise. And without going into great detail, the counterpoise is three posts out there, and they got wires strung between them at 4-inch intervals. And if you can imagine a 12-foot 4x4 stuck in the ground 2 feet, and those are up at the top 4 inches apart. And they actually do not go back to ground. They hook to what they call an isolation transformer by Wire Design. And it's not a Bowen, but it looks exactly like it. And that wire terminates there, and then the other wire just shoots up vertically to an inverted L over the top of a tree. And mine's just made out of a copper-clad steel, and it works good. My Carolina Windham is the copper-clad steel, they call it a silky. And the Wireman is a place you can get a lot of your stuff locally here, and he'll ship it to you FedEx. And, of course, ham radio outlet down in Atlanta is very good also. But it seems to work well. I'm anxious to use it this winter and try. I've got 60 countries on there. And just for kicks and giggles and something to do, I'd like to get the other 40 countries. But I'm not a big numbers man. I have a lot, but I just, I never got that interested in numbers till I got down here, and there was a little competition. And Oh, heck, I'm old. I got time and I'm retarded. Or retired. Yeah, so I got time to do that, Jimmy. You come out of the house anytime you want, Jimmy, and be glad to show you those. If we're not here, you can drive down behind there and walk out in the, what I call